Hello, I'm Martin, and this is my show. Each week, we take a deep dive into one artist, one story, 1 hour. We crack open the tracks, peel back the history. What was happening in the studio, on the streets, in the headlines. It's not just music, it's a movement. Each episode becomes a music brick, a solid piece of sound and story, stacked into a music wall of riffs, revolutions, record sleeves and raw truth. This is more than nostalgia, it's a blueprint. And this is Music Brick. So let's all forget about the clock and forget about the world outside. Tonight we're diving headfirst into the Specials, a seven-piece collision of ska, punk and pure intent, driven by Jerry Dammers, Terry Hall, Linville Golding and Neville Staple. No filters, no compromises, raw, pure, volatile rhythm, built for dance floors and defiance. They weren't chasing fame, they were dragging truth onto the stage. Every show felt like a standoff, the beat hit hard, the words hit harder. This wasn't just music, it was a rebellion set to rhythm. They weren't a band built for easy listening, they were built for impact. Multiracial, multi-genre, in a world full of polished acts. The Specials looked like they just broke in through the back door of a club. Their songs were short, fast and wired. They didn't soften edges, they sharpened them. And when they played, the whole room moved. Or else.
Playing the best songs on the planet.
Costa Calida International Radio. The best radio station on the Med.
It all kicked off with Gangsters, a track that sounded like a warning shot and felt like a fight at a bus stop. Jerry Dammers wrote it in a panic after a disastrous tour of France where the band were held at gunpoint. They press up 1,000 copies and the song tears up John Peel's radio slot. Loosely based on Prince Buster's Al Capone, but jacked up on menace and punk fury. It wasn't a track, it was a threat. Neville Staple said, "We weren't part of the machine, we were telling people the machine was already broken." and no song made that clearer than A Message to You, Rudy. Originally by Dandy Livingston, but the version had exploded across Top of the Pops in October 1979. This was different. Brass blazing, two-tone suits twitching, Terry Hall barely moving his mouth like he was already tired of everyone's nonsense. The message wasn't complicated: grow up, wise up, or disappear. But look closer. That same week, Britain's top 10 had The Police, Cliff Richard and Dr. Hook. Meanwhile, 16-year-olds in monkey boots were brawling in bus shelters and reading National Front flyers at the job centre. The specials weren't offering entertainment, they were slipping truth into your drink. Next up is nightclub, but let's just take a moment and talk fashion. Real skinhead culture had been built on Jamaican ska, but by 1979 it splintered. Racist factions were trying to co-opt it. So two-tone took it back. Harrington jackets, Fred Perry's, braces. This wasn't nostalgia, it was resistance with style. And when the band unleashed nightclub, they aimed it at the places where the divide was thickest. Exclusive clubs, bouncers with Nazi tattoos, working class kids locked out of their own night. Roddy Radiation's guitar is razor sharp here, but it's not whining, it's reporting. This is Britain at night. Roddy said later, this song was about emptiness we felt going out. The clubs were all pose and no heart. While Studio 54 made headlines in America, over here you had velvet ropes in Soho, strikes in the post office, and bricks thrown through pub windows in Lewisham. Even the charts were split, glossy escapism and raw confession. ABBA's Gimme Gimme was climbing, but so were the Jam and the Specials. Nightclub is sweaty, skanked up rebellion, and it's wearing a Ben Sherman shirt with beer down the front, daring you to look away.
What am I doing here? Watching the girls go by.
Now comes the home turf anthem. Not in celebration, but in exhaustion. Concrete Jungle was Roddy's postcard from Coventry's worst corners. It's punk through and through. Clipped, charged, unfiltered. He wrote it after watching violence creep closer day by day. I can't get free from this concrete jungle, he sings, and you feel it. It's not drama, it's a cage. Neville once told a story about getting attacked when walking home from rehearsal. That's the backdrop here. No metaphor, just the sound of boots hitting pavement. And Coventry wasn't alone. Across the country, post-industrial towns were hollowing out, factories shutting overnight, leaving whole streets jobless. In a 1980 interview, Roddy said, it was like being penned in. No money, no future, just concrete. The mood matched the headlines. Steel strikes, power cuts, a recession that made Thatcher's cuts feel like an axe. Concrete Jungle captured that dull panic. This was no Camden fantasy. Coventry in 1979 looked like an abandoned estate. No future, no funding. But even then, music was kind of a gospel. It filled the gaps the system left behind. On Saturday nights, the grey lifted and you find the dance floors heaving and packed out, shouting every word.
Everyone wants to play me. Baby, danger in the
This is a difficult but important music break for me, and I hope it reminds us all of how far we've come at times. We're going to slow it down now with Blank Expression, and it isn't about riots, it's about something even colder. Emotional shutdown, depression without drama. Terry Hall at his iciest, I can't move, can't speak, I'm so weak. It's a dead-eyed diary entry for a generation that didn't have therapy. Just let that sink in. It's just silence, and that silence was heavy. In a 2007 interview, Hall said, I was writing how I felt, and I felt nothing. That's the ache here, not anger, emptiness. You can hear the contrast. Scar brass playing upbeat while Terry sounds half dead inside. That contradiction was deliberate. In the late 70s, nobody called it mental health. They called it a slump. You were told to pull yourself together. Meanwhile, Joy Division were releasing Unknown Pleasures, proving that numbness could soundtrack a culture. The Specials took that mood and gave it their own two-tone twist. No screaming, no melodrama, just flat resignation. Blank Expression was the quiet admission that sometimes the fight wasn't on the streets, but in your own head.
Snow is falling all around. 7 o'clock and the roads are blocked. So I walk downtown. There's no one around. I walk in a bar and immediately I sense danger. You look at me, girl, as if I was some kind of a total stranger. Get that blank, blank expression on your face. Where did you get that blank, blank expression on your face?
Everyone knows the best way of advertising your business is on the radio. Visit our website, costacolidaradio.com, and contact us to find out more about advertising and sponsorship packages. We can help you reach your target audience. Costa Colida Radio.
Next up, Rat Race. This one just comes out swinging. Damas wrote it after seeing students all polished up for success while the world outside was on its knees. Not angry at education, angry at the smugness, at the fast track, the blank faces, the empty suits before they even had jobs. Rat Race doesn't waste time with lines like, you plan your conversation to impress the college bar. You can feel the scorn. Jerry once said, we were sick of seeing privilege treated like a virtue. It dropped in June 1980 and slammed straight into the top five, right in the middle of a wild top 10. The Police at number one with Don't Stand So Close to Me, Funky Town by Lips Inc, ABBA with The Winner Takes It All. But while the charts were mostly shiny escapism, the Specials lobbed in a hand grenade of reality. This was Scar with Teeth, dancing but scowling, and for every kid watching the Elite close ranks, Rat Race felt like sweet revenge. Too young. No slow build, no soft edges. This one hits like a warning shot. It's January 1980 and Britain's already on the ropes. Margaret Thatcher's 6 months in to number 10. Inflation's climbing, strikes are biting hard, the future feels cold. And then the Specials drop this. You've done too much, much too young. Terry Hall didn't flinch. He said later, we were just trying to be honest. People were growing up too fast and getting stuck. The lyrics took aim at the teenage pregnancies and the suffocating cycle of getting trapped before you knew yourself. Parents groups weren't happy. Politicians bristled. The BBT banned it for being too explicit. But it didn't matter. The live EP, recorded at the Lyceum, came roaring in straight to number one. 3 weeks at the top, holding off the Nolans, the Pretenders and the Buggles. Neville Staple recalled, "It was brilliant watching the establishment squirm. This wasn't just a song, it was a message. And it landed."
Too much too young. You're done too much, much too young. You're married.
By now, the National Front was circling, literally turning up to shows, handing out flyers, hoping to twist the movement. Dammers was having none of it, so he wrote the Bark Manifesto that was Do the Dog. Call out the hate, loud, clear, and without metaphor. All you skinheads better watch out, he howled. No subtext, just sunlight and sirens. Jerry later said, we'd see those people in the crowd trying to hijack the scene, and we weren't having it. This track is the rawest example of the band's refusal to pretend. In 1980, Britain was splitting down every line. Race, class, politics. The year started with steel strikes and ended with Brixton smouldering. Even the charts told the story. While Do the Dog was blasting through venues, the top 10 was filled with escapist hits. Blondie's Atomic, The Nolans and Dr. Hook. But the Specials weren't offering escape. They were a reminder that if you didn't pick a side, the worst people would pick it for you. Do the Dog was an ultimatum. Either you were part of the progress or you were part of the problem.
Donkey,
do the dog.
Don't be a jerk.
Do the dog.
What should you work for? donkey.
To the dog.
Don't be a jerk.
To the dog.
What shall you work for?
Now for the one that hurt the most. 1981. Brixton was burning, unemployment was nuclear, the media was stoking panic, calling it urban unrest. The special saw it for what it was. Communities breaking apart, why politicians traded blame. Ghost Town captured the moment like no one else. Damas said he felt haunted walking through the city centres at night. The recording nearly didn't happen. The band were fracturing. Terry was exhausted. Jerry was desperate to get one more message out. Somehow, it came together, and when it hit number one, it wasn't a celebration, it was confirmation. That July, it held the top spot while riots erupted across London, Liverpool and Manchester. The charts were full of shiny synth, Kim Wilde's Cambodia, Soft Cell's Tainted Love and Shakin' Stevens. But then came this eerie waltz, sounding nothing like anything else on the radio. Neville Staple called it the most honest thing we ever did. For a generation growing up on closed factories and false promises, Ghost Town was the only anthem that felt real.
This town is gonna like a ghost town.
Let's talk roots, let's talk respect, let's talk fire. Monkey Man wasn't a throwaway cover, it was a salute, originally cut in 1969 by Toots and the Maytals. But when the Specials took it on, they weren't just playing around, they were planting a flag. Neville Staples said, that was the link back to where this all started. Toots was the real thing. Without that music, there's no Specials. It was also a way to remind everyone that Scar's origins weren't British, they were Jamaican. By 1979, that truth was getting erased by pop radio and lazy journalists who called everything reggae. This was the band taking it back, refusing to let the history fade. Even the live performances felt like a lesson. Sharp suits, brass blasting, and a nod to every sound system that laid the groundwork. At this time, the charts were all over the place. The Boomtown Rats, Gary Numan, and The Police filling the top 40. But Monkey Man was proof. The Specials weren't chasing trends. They were paying homage and daring the mainstream to follow.
This one is for all the bouncers. Big, big Monkey Man.
When The Empire Strikes Back and Raging Bull were on at the pictures, when people queued for The Shining and wondered if Gregory's Girl was really worth going to see, the Specials introduced us to Friday night, Saturday morning. Terry Hall didn't write about galaxies or romance. He wrote about the kebab queue at 1 o'clock in the morning, about losing your coat in a nightclub, about another Friday night that ended just like the last. This was post-industrial romance, desperate, repetitive, dress sharp but going nowhere. In the 1980s, clubs were dark, had sticky dance floors, carpets around the bar, and smelled of bleach. Back then, fashion was armour, but it couldn't save you from a cold walk home. And Hall nailed it. Clock off from the week and throw your best self at the night that wouldn't remember you. Same pub, same faces, same bus ride home. Friday night, Saturday morning is the kind of real nobody puts in a love song. It slouches, and that's what makes it brilliant.
Out of bed at 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the Locarno. No, when my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Bouncers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit and watch the flashing lights, moving legs in footless tights. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I like to venture into town. I like to get a few drinks down. The floor gets packed, the bar gets full. I don't like life when things get dull. The hen party have saved the night and freed themselves from drunken stags. Having fun and dancing in a circle round the leather bags. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday morning.
It's here already, the final song. The final song to a roller coaster of emotions on our latest Music Brick show. We end with Do Nothing, and this really was the end for the Specials as we knew them. And they knew it too. Do Nothing came out in December 1980, right as the band was starting to split from the inside. The energy had shifted, the politics, the pressure, the endless touring, it all piled up. Terry Hall said we were falling apart. We were still on stage, still doing the songs, but the spark was going. You can feel it in the title. There's no protest here, no call to arms, just fatigue. By now, the band were barely speaking off stage. Jerry Dammers kept pushing for message and meaning. The others, tired of being mouthpieces for the movement. But even in collapse, they still made a mark when it landed in winter where the charts were mourning the murder of John Lennon. Do Nothing reached number 4. Right up there with John Lennon's reissue of Imagine, and Joan and Louis were still trapped in the kitchen at parties. Neville Staple called it the last echo. But this wasn't a torch song, it was a white flag. But even on the way out, they were still louder than the rest.
Fashion is my only culture.
The Specials weren't just a band, they were a mirror held up to a country mid-collapse. They took ska, punk, reggae, soul and weaponized it. Not to wound, to wake people up. Their contradictions were part of the art. Rage and humour, politics and play, dance and destruction. And maybe they broke apart because Britain itself couldn't hold the contradictions they reflected. But for a moment, for a riotous, soul-slicing few years, they told the truth and they made it dance. They weren't polished, they weren't perfect. They were raw, righteous and real. A group of working-class musicians with nothing to lose and everything to say. They didn't dress it up. They didn't dumb it down, they didn't play the game, they rewrote the rules. The Specials were what it sounded like when the streets talked back, when the kids turned panic into poetry, when the music wasn't an escape, it was evidence. They gave us songs that hit like a warning, they showed the country how to move, even when it was breaking, especially when it was breaking. And when the final note rang out, when the movements frayed and the energy scattered, what they left behind didn't vanish. It settled into culture, into memory, into every teenager that put on a Fred Perry and decided not to back down. They didn't just soundtrack a moment, they helped make the moment. They made us skank, sweat, shout and think. And they proved that music, when it's honest, can still bring down walls.
This is Costa Calida International Radio on 90 and 100 FM.
Next time on Music Brick, a change of gear, a change of direction. We're swapping concrete for chrome, because now it's the 1980s and everything's louder, slicker and flashier, from post-punk protest to pop decadence. It's a different world now, optimism in the air, MTV, Miami Vice, shoulder pads and supermodels. Style isn't rebellion anymore, it's the headline act. And at the centre of it all, five boys from Birmingham, with cheekbones, synths and a taste for the exotic. Yachts, deserts, jungles and dance floors. They turned every music video into a bomb film. But behind the hairspray and hype, there was something else. Something tight, crafted and hook heavy. We'll dive into the glitter, the groove, the guilt and the glory as we follow the rise, rupture and reinvention. This isn't just pop, this is war paint with a hook. This is Duran Duran. Want to be part of the Music Brick story? Head to our Facebook page, just search at Music Brick, share your memories, your moments, your music, and add your own Music Brick to our music wall. And there you have it, another artist, another journey, another Music Brick. Keep your ears open and your spirits high. Keep listening, keep exploring, and above all, keep the faith. Night night, Mum.
All hits, all day. Costa Calida Radio.